Rats, cats. Let's talk to Paul O'Grady. Hiya, Paul. Well,
funny enough, I had rats under my bed. Seriously.
No, don't, listen, Paul.
I had a load in the loft. Well, you'd think a football match was going on up there. It was like Poltergeist. And then I heard this squeaking one night, and I looked, there's two under my bed. We've just had to have all the kitchen floorboards up while it died. And the
stench
is terrible. The countryside, yeah, for you.
Well, that's you, but I have got a rat somewhere in my penthouse and not in the countryside.
Oh,
not very happy at all.
And the size of them now, some of them, they're like moggies. Oh,
they just walk in and park themselves by the fire, get warm.
And that's one animal I'm not very keen on. You know, I'll go out sometimes to feed the pigs and I'll open the food store and want to roll up my arm. You can hear the screams in Wigan.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this man has gone from Lily Savage to changing tea time television forever. Totally changing. To Battersea's Dogs Home and now the Salvation Army. You make me laugh.
I know, the things I do, I have a varied life, don't I?
You do indeed. I mean, you've been everywhere. I can never take you serious from that one night in New Orleans when they were trying to get you back in the car.
Oh, God, don't. I'd hammered. But you know what it was? I'd met a load of Scousers down there in Bourbon Street. Come in and have a drink. Come on, next time I'm on the Westgate and I'm up singing Frankie and Johnny. I'm out of my mind. And the woman who ran the bar was from Liverpool and she said, oh my God, it's like New Year's Eve in here. And all of a sudden, could have been anywhere, you know what I mean? Could have been Yates and Charlotte Street.
Oh, you do make me laugh. You do make me laugh. So you're still doing it. What has possessed you? And I'm really fascinated to watch it. It's on Easter Monday on BBC. Salvation Army.
6 o'clock they put it on. It's hardly kiddies viewing. You know, I don't know. But it's not. You know what I'm dealing with? Like this. So the first episode is like the introductory episode. You know what I mean? And so I'm down with all the homeless in Bournemouth. It's sad. It really is. And I did 3 months last year filming it all. And I was up in Liverpool in the women's centre there where the old shaker used to be. You know what I mean?
Do indeed, yeah.
Yeah, in a smashing bunch of women they were.
Yeah.
You know, and they were just great and all the workers in there and everything. And it's just, I've been in a refugee camp in Athens. Tell you what, that was an eye-opener. Where else have I been?
How big is the Salvation Army in the world?
Massive. It's all over. I'll tell you, when I first met them, when AIDS first came to London, they were the only organisation, in fact, who dared to go on the wards, you know, and they went on and they sat with people and they paid for funerals and they counselled their families and they did everything for them. They weren't judgmental either. They just got on with the job. They were efficient. And so actually, because they used to bang a drum outside Woolies at Christmas, and I didn't really know a lot about them. And then, of course, you discover what they do. They're like the fourth emergency service, really. You know, they're good people. This is it.
Yeah. And, of course, they find so many people. They're one of them, it's amazing. You know, so many people have been on my show looking for people. We've pointed them to the Salvation Army, and they've helped them.
Oh, they will do, you know, and just the stuff they do is amazing. And what's happened is, with all the cuts, of course, you know, councils can't afford to have, like, groups for the elderly and single mother groups and things for kids, you know, and all that. So they stepped in and taken over. So they're doing all these services. In fact, they're doing now what they did 150 years ago, food banks, soup kitchens, nothing's changed.
What would Lily think of you doing this?
Oh, she'd be made up. I think she had a Sally Army outfit in the wardrobe she used to wear occasionally for clients. I won't put money on that, but I won't put a pasta.
Tell me, did you wear the uniform on the show?
They did, actually, because I had to train at the Salvation Army. Imagine me in the Salvation Army. I mean, this is why I enjoyed the programme, because we're not exactly the perfect bedfellows, mate, but we got on like a house on fire. Yeah. You know, there was very little mention of religion, although they're very spiritual, of course, you know, but they didn't try and push it down my throat. You know, and I used to say, she said, you're wasting your time trying to save me. Yeah. I said, I've gone to hell in a fast car years ago. I'm not coming back. So they were lovely. They were really lovely to work with. You know, I really admire them, all the stuff. And they're so cheerful. You know, they'll sit and listen to people, and they're quite amazing, really. I mean, we mightn't agree on certain things when it comes to religion, but that's not what the programme's about. It's about trying to show people what they do, especially in these hard times. You know, it's amazing.
No, they do seem really nice people. What's going to be interesting, Paul, you did the evening show on television and you seriously did change television, and you really did. Nobody had ever got figures like it. And then, of course, everybody copied you. Then you did Battersea with the dogs, which was the most amazing television, which kept the imagination. And then what happened? Everybody copied you. There's a million dogs programmes. What the hell's going to happen after the Sally Army?
They'll all be going round in bonnets, banging a drum. Wait and see. Wait and see. They'll all be at it now. The thing is, I did get some arch with them in the end. That was like, you know, my prize. And I had the uniform and I had the drum. And we went down Oxford Street. Well, I can't tell you. Because I used to go and watch when the lodge used to march. And my mother used to go mad. And I couldn't help it. You know, I love a band. You know what I mean? And so to march with the Sally Ann down Oxford Street, there was a big rousing battle cry, I thought. Maybe I'm going to join up here. Maybe I've had the calling.
You had the drum, not the tambourine.
No, I had the drum. I was reading them off. It was in the elements. Honestly, and it was the look on people's faces. You could see as we're going down Oxford Street, you see them looking and going, "Am I pulled over?" No, it can't be. And then they thought I'd sort of joined up. Yeah. You know, I had people saying, "We didn't know you and Sally on." I said, "Oh, yeah, I've been in it for years."
Have you had any say in this, in the direction and where you've gone with this all on the Salvation
Army? Yeah, you say, I'd like to do this. And it was me wanting, I wanted to go to the refugee camp.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to some old guy. It was so sad. And, you know, I said, "Where's your family?" And he said, "They've all been decapitated." And you think, and then you see a little baby 2 weeks old lying on a piece of cardboard, and you're surrounded by kids or wanting to, you know, and we took toys down and stuff and food for the kids and milk and bread and all that, sleeping bags. And we were there like all day. It was a very long day. And it was just by the end of it, you're hung out. You think, "Oh." I was talking to a woman and she was pregnant, heavily pregnant, and she had a little kid. And she was walking to Germany from Greece. And I said, "Where are you going to give birth?" She said, "Where I gave birth to this one on the roadside." And you think, "My God, what's that civilization?" You know, you see this.
It's a different world.
None of them want to go to England. I was saying to them, "You're making your way to the UK," and they were horrified. They're going, "No, we're going to Germany or Sweden." Yeah. You know, but it was really sobering. Yeah. It was shocking, really. Yeah, it was really, it was a tough one.
How many weeks is this on for, the Salvation Army?
It's on for six. It's six episodes.
So each episode self-contained? Is it all different functions, or are we following
a journey? Like one week, you know, I'm in Liverpool with all the girls there, and then another week I'm up in Glasgow in a home for people with Alzheimer's. Which was, you know, look at it and you think, and there's such smashing people. And all of us, I was talking to a lady, I mean, it made me laugh. And she said, "Would you like to dance?" So I said, "Oh, go on then." So we had a dance and she said, "I'd like a lemonade." So I said, I said, "Oh, well, we'll go into the kitchen." She said, "Wait till the orchestra finishes."
I said, "Okay."
So we go, "God love her." We go into the kitchen and then she says to me, "So when do you sail?" I think she thought it was a sailor in the war. You know? So I kept it up. I said, "The sail at midnight." She said, "What ship are you on?" I said, "I'm on the Kinnard line." I nearly said the Royal Irish. And I was coming out with her. Because that's what you have to do. Don't distress them. You have to play the game.
Paul, what do they do for money in the Salvation Army? Did you find out?
They've got, mainly public donations. You know, and people are very good, funny enough. Yeah. You know, when we were out flogging the war cry, I don't believe I'm saying this, but I was out.
You were flogging the war cry?
Selling the war cry. I was telling them all I was on page three. And all this, and I said, "You'll go to hell if you don't buy it." And of course, they were all saying, "Can we have a selfie?" I said, "Yeah, £5 for the war cry."
Yeah.
And
you mentioned, let me stop you there. You mentioned that magic word. You hate selfies.
I don't mind. Do you know what it is? It's people just come up to you and they go, "Oh, you're what's-his-face-off, that what's-a-thing on the telly, aren't you? That's it. Stand there while I take your photo." And you think, "Hang on a minute." they say, oh, here he is. Oh, yeah, you get here. And you're with friends or something, or, you know, and they're pushed out the way and the friends get the armpit, you. And, I mean, you've got to be a weirdo to enjoy being photographed every 10 minutes. You can't get in the train or nothing. And I've got a face like a smack backside. I look like a serial killer on these selfies. Because I've got this terrible grin. Like, which would terrify children.
Paul, will you ever slow down? No, seriously?
I don't know.
You still loving work or not?
I'm going to fall out. Listen, I've got a whole menagerie here. If I packed up work, I don't know what I'd do. They cost a fortune, you know, to do. So, and I sort of like it, you know, I quite like working. I get bored if I was. What would you do?
I'm with you on that one. By the way, isn't it great news? One of our lovely mates, Babs Windsor, and she got the damehood yesterday.
I know.
I couldn't be happier for a woman like that.
No, she was worried about it, you know, when she got it.
Yeah.
She was, you know, a bit concerned, you know, as well, that why me attitude. And I said to her, look, your mother, if she was allowed to be made up. You know, she does the work she does for charity. You know, it's amazing. She's always out, Barbara, and the age of her, and she's out there giving it, and she's like, oh, my darling. You know, she's like, I've done every charity I do, Barbara's always there. She's always there. She's like Joe Brand. She's another one who'll turn out for everything. You know, and Barbara, she deserves it. She really deserves it. I look over the career she's had.
Oh, amazing. And she's done an awful lot for this country. She's amazing. She's an ambassador.
And the public like her, you know. They really do. She deserves it.
Great.
She
were really your does. Ears burning the other day? I had a lady in front of me who I fell in love with and raved about you. Cheryl Ferguson.
Oh, she's lovely. Cheryl, smashing.
Isn't she a lovely lady?
Oh, no, she's great, Cheryl. Yeah,
she's coming up to do the Wizard of Oz at the St. Helens Theatre.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Who's she in that? Glinda?
Well, it made me laugh because I said to her, are you playing Dorothy? She went, do you want a smack in the mouth?
Like when I said I'm doing Annie, that sounds rude, doesn't it? I said I'm going into Annie. That sounds even worse. I'm appearing in Annie.
Yes.
They said I can't see you in a ginger wig. I said I'm not Annie.
I loved. You as Miss Hannigan. I thought you were wicked.
I had a ball doing it because the kids were such good fun to work with. Because that's all I worked with in the show, mainly the kids, you know, and so you had to get on with them, and they were smashing, and they've all gone on. Like, one of my aunties, Sophie McShearer, she plays the kitchen maid in Downton Abbey.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and like all my aunties now, you know, they're all in their 30s, married with kids and what have you, and I feel ancient when I'm stopped on the street by this woman. I go, that was your Duffy. I go, oh, my God. It's odd, isn't it? Really odd.
The headline in the paper, Paul O'Grady blasts the NHS cuts following sister's treatment. Not our lovely Sheila.
Yeah, she had a heart attack 11 days ago. She's just had her angiogram now. And then, of course, it became the norovirus and we all got sick. So the ward was closed. I was going to come up last Thursday. I couldn't because the ward was closed. You weren't allowed in. And then, of course, she gets sent home for the day and comes home and goes back overnight. I said, what is this? They release. But she had her angiogram today. Thank God that's been done. Because it's been a real worry, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Because you can live without an arm or a leg or an eye or an ear or whatever, even part of your brain, but you can't live without your heart.
No.
So it's kind of scary for the kids and her husband and everything. But, yes, she's doing fine. Tough on our Sheila, and she's uncomplaining. She's the type who'll lie there, blue faced, in agony, and you say, you all right? And she's like, fine, thanks. Honestly, and I'm the same. I never go to the doctor. I always end up in the back of an ambulance being blue lit. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's so stupid. Go with it, mind you, you can't get an appointment. Yeah. What's the point?
Did you know you made the headlines of blasting the NHS?
I did, because I'm not blasting the NHS, I'm blasting the government, because I remember distinctly when Cameron came, when he was pre-election, when he was touting for votes, he said, you know, the NHS is safe in my hands. And then, oh God, a couple of months later, that Andrew Lansley, who was then the health secretary, he cut the budget by 20 billion, not 20 million, 20 billion. And Jeremy Hunt, who's now health secretary, he said it in print in a book called Demon Democracy, how he thinks the national health it should be phased out, outdated. Mm-hmm. So why would you put a man who thinks that about one of our most precious things, the National Health Service, in charge of it? Why would you do it? Yeah. To destroy it and privatise it. So soon we'll be ringing for an ambulance and they'll be saying, hello, put you on hold. Yeah. Can we have your credit card number, please? Yeah. Expiry days. Can we have a security card? As you're lying there, having a heart attack. Yeah. And it's a worry, you know, we have to... The thing is, it's not free. We pay for it out of our taxes. We pay for the National Health Service, you know. So we're not getting anything we're not entitled to.
Yeah. No, I understand. Well, at the end of the story, the hospital had been approached for a comment, but they had not provided a response at the time of publication of the paper, so we don't know how they feel about it.
Yeah. Well, they had to close two wards. And the thing is, of course, they've got no beds. Yeah. This is it. So their hands are tied, you know. They really have, you know, they're overworked, they're understaffed and they're underpaid. And the wards are closing, there's no beds, everybody's getting angry, and they're demonising them, and they're not the ones at fault. Yeah. You know, it's this government with the cuts. I keep going on about it, and I'm in pain in the neck, but we have to sort of, like, look after our national health. It's,
absolutely,
it's vital.
Yeah. By the way, just for the record, I actually can't drive past... Are you ready for this? When I was 19, that's where I went to be cured of being gay. Diva.
Is that Diva?
That was Diva.
That's where my mother always said she used to that she'd end up. She was forever saying, "You put me in Diva, you."
That was Diva. That was Diva, and that's where I went for the cure.
Oh my God, with that electrotherapy thing.
And electrotherapy and also aversion therapy. I've got to ask you now, are we on part 8 of your life story yet?
That Lord of the Rings, isn't it? In fact, a woman said to me, "Oh, you're not going to kill your mother off, are you?" I said, "I asked her, she died, you know." She's like, I've got to. She went, "Oh, can't you leave her in?" I said, "No." I said, I'll bring her back as a ghost.
So go on, what part are we up to now?
Where am I now? I can't remember. You know, I'm well into my 30s. I'm at 40 now.
You make me laugh.
Yeah, and I'm doing a kids one now at the moment.
Oh right.
Yeah, which yeah. I'm enjoying because I'm writing that for myself. You know, I haven't got a deadline.
No.
The publishers want it, like, but they might get it and say, "What's this load of rubbish?"
How's your health?
I'm smashing. Yeah, great. Thanks.
You're all right.
Yeah, no, I'm all right. Yeah, well, it seems a bit. I was flying on the end of the rope over Christmas, wasn't I? That's fairy godfather.
You were flying in that?
Yeah, and because it was a stadium, you know, you're like 230 feet up. But I like flying, though.
Oh, you like it?
Oh, I love it. That's why I took the child catcher's job in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, because you got to go through the roof of the Palladium. I like stuff like that. Doesn't bother me.
As soon as you say flying, I just keep thinking about Cilla when she came out of retirement on 2008 and flew the Empire, and she'd never flown in her life. Well, she was hysterical.
Right.
They put her up there for 10 minutes before we started. "You're all right? Shut up. I'm just shouting, you're all right." She was just hanging there.
She rang me, you know, and she said, "You've flown, haven't you, Paul, loads of times?" I said, "Oh, I." She said, "I'm a bit worried about this harness." So I said, "Well, when I first started doing it, Cilla, I used to go to, I hope nobody gets offended by this, I used to go to the chemist and get a pack of sanitary towels. I said the thick ones and shove them in under the straps, take the pressure off your legs. Of course, then I progressed to nappies then. But it was a shame going in. I can have a backpack of nappies, please." They look at me. And that's it. But they've got new harnesses now. They're really light. But the old ones used to be like leather and brass. They were like something you put on a drill. Oh, God, they take all the flesh off your hips. But good fun.
But you enjoy it.
I love him. I love my master kids. Now, I used to love flying across the stage. I think this is fabulous. I'm getting paid for this.
Did you see any of the pictures of the statue for sale?
No, I haven't.
I'll send you a couple now. Robert,
it's not up yet, is it?
No. We announced it the other day. I did a press release a while ago to stop all the speculation. So we didn't say where it was, but they came up here. I put them in touch with Emma and Alan and Andy. Andy has done this amazing beetle statue. The faces are unbelievable down at the Pierhead. And Emma is an incredible sculptor. They're the ones that have got the contract. They've done four little small ones, which I'll send you the pictures of. And then we announced it's going to go in the old doorway of the cavern. So where old doorway was.
Yeah, I know.
Because she used to say, that's not the cavern, that's the cavern. So we're putting it there, and it's going to be a beautiful bronze. But Robert and the boys are just making up their mind whether they want the hands on the hip or the hands in the air. And, you know, that was what she did, hands in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fab. I'll send you a couple of pictures in a minute.
Oh, God, I'm glad. She'd, I don't know what she'd make of all that, you know.
Well,
I think she'd be made up.
Yeah.
You know,
and, of course, the lads are gifting it to Liverpool. They're paying for it and gifting it to Liverpool.
Oh, well, that's good.
As
oh,
a thank you. Massive. As a thank you to everybody and the way they treated her.
So, Doddy's at Lime Street, isn't
Doddy
he?
Doddy and Bessie Braddock, yeah. And then John Lennon's in Matthew Street. Billy Fury's down at the Albert Dock. You're going to be near the old magic clock.
I'll be in Corporation Road, Birkenhead. Down the Dock Road somewhere, I'll be there. Got an old brass leaning up against it. What was it? I was going to ask you something. It's gone straight out of my head. I've forgotten completely. I've just been watching the news. It's terrific. I mean, isn't it?
No,
it's just so upsetting. You watch it and you think, oh, my God. It is. It's,
I don't know what the world's coming to, you know.
I don't, you know. And then you go like, you know, you see people like when I was doing the Sally Army, to go back to that, you meet people who are doing two jobs and they still have to go to a food bank because they can't make ends meet.
Yeah.
Because they can't feed the kids. And it's just, you can see how embarrassed they are. And this lovely woman talking on camera, and I kept saying to her, you've got nothing to be ashamed, you know, for God's sake, you've got nothing to be ashamed of, nothing at all. It's, you know, it's like the homeless as well. I said to one of them, well, you know, there for the grace of God go I. I arrived down from Birkenhead on a coach with about 15 quid. We could have ended up anywhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, thank God.
Where you're living, are you in the area, without saying where you live, but are you in the area where they've got a lot of migrants coming in? Are you in that area where the roads are
blocked? No, not at all. That's right down in Dover. And I haven't seen. We used to have an open prison in our village.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's all gone now. But, not at all.
Right.
I see the Gurkhas, because we've got a big Gurkha base somewhere down. So you see lots of the girls, they're all like, fit as fleas, and fellas, they're out. Yeah, now they've got Gurkha taxis and everything. I mean, over in Calais, of course, it's shock. I mean, I can't believe it, you know, 5 miles over the channel or whatever, it's carnage.
Yeah. It's incredible. Right, the show...
I back, dear. Yeah. And this is a camping phase, and I thought, I did one night, and I thought, no, this ain't for me. And I bought a load of second-hand camping gear, stoves, sleeping bags, tents. I mean, enough, really, to equip an army. But it was cheap, so I was all going, I'll have it. Anyway, I've sent a lot over, because what do I want it for? And it's freezing, they must be perished.
So, we've got Salvation Army starting Easter Monday. It's going to be on for 6 weeks.
No, Easter Sunday.
I beg your pardon, Easter Sunday. I put Monday.
6 o'clock, which means, you know, it used to be the old Disney time slot.
No,
please.
Easter Sunday. We've got a children's book one day. We've got part 8 of the life story. Any more variety on telly?
There's Animal Orphans, isn't there?
Right.
That's what we filmed last year in Borneo with all the little orangutans. God, they're gorgeous. I had a one-year-old called Archie. He was a tiny little thing. And the woman said to me, Sue, she's English. She said, he doesn't really like strangers. Well, why didn't he jump out and hang on to me? And that was it. And it was love at first sight. And handing them over is the worst thing. It's heartbreaking.
But you like that with every single animal, every dog, every elephant, everything.
I know. I've sat in the back of cars and cried over the baby elephants.
So go on, how many animals have you got on your land now?
I've got 5 dogs. Two of them are epileptic. One's Olga Scott. She's got one kidney because she had cancer. The other one's deaf, going blind, and has got a heart murmur. Eddie thinks he's Napoleon. And then I've got, how many sheep have I got now? 8 sheep. One died not so long ago. 8 sheep, 6 pigs, 3 goats, 5 barn owls, and 5 chickens. And a load of ducks.
Very nice. Paul O'Grady, it's always a joy to talk to you.
And you, Pete. Nice to talk to you.
Look after yourself.
Well,
give my love to Sheila. And once again, thank you for contributing to my roast, which you were one of 10 fabulous people, and we raised £23,800 for children's for Clare House Children's Hospice.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
You helped with that, so thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Paul.
Oh, by the way, in case anyone's interested, I've done a whole thing about why we must save the national health. It's in the Daily Mirror on Friday.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I feel really strongly about it, you know, and all the social care's gone and everything, you know, for home care for the elderly. It's not on.
But what's your solution? Because it's costing so much. I mean, what's your solution?
But it's not, you see. This is flannel. It's been proven many times that the National Health Service is one of the most effective health services in the world and also one of the cheapest if run properly. And it's not. You know what I mean? It's really not. And when Bevin first established it, you know, he said, you know, it's a mark of a civilized society to take care of people who haven't got the means to pay for it. Yeah. And it's not fair. And as I said, we have paid for it, you know, with national insurance, our tax, we pay for that. So we're entitled to it. And I feel really strongly about it. We have to fight for it and not let this shower take it off us. And don't get me going.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Ta-da, Pete.
Ta-da. See you on Sunday night at 6 o'clock and the Salvation Army on for 6 weeks.